John chapter 3. And with the other hand, get John chapter 12. And then with your elbow, we're going to go to John chapter 8. So you just hang on. We'll go to John 3 first. They're all real close together, so you won't have to find them all at the same time. Go to John 3 first. We'll read one verse. And then we'll go to John 12. Good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at John 12. John 12 and verse 32. John 12 and verse 32. And I, Jesus talking now, He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be, what? Lifted up. In John 12, it says, Jesus talking, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now we're going to go to John 8, and that'll be our text, and then we'll... I tell you what, let's go ahead and read it before we pray. John chapter number 8. Look at verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again to the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what saith thou? This they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when He continued asking Him, or when they continued asking Him, watch this. He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even at the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here. God, it's been good to be in Your house today. Lord, I thank You for these that have gathered. Lord, a good number, several visitors. Lord, I pray that You would prepare our hearts right now to receive the message. God, I don't know who's in the building. Lord, I don't know their hearts. I don't know what they've been through this week. I don't know what they're going through today. I don't know what they've got coming up this coming week. But Lord, we're coming to one, and You know exactly all that we think and do. And God, what we're up against. So Lord, I pray right now that You'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. In John 3:14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, that's a good story over the book of Numbers, how that they lifted up that serpent on the pole, and they had all them snake bites and all that kind of thing. And that if they would look on the pole, if they would look to that, they would be healed, and that snake bite wouldn't kill them, and all of that kind of thing. And John 3 refers to that and says, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, be lifted up. And then in John 12 it says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we want to do here at Holy Hills Baptist Church, this is what we want to do. We want to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. in today's churches, too many men are being lifted up. Too many periodicals are being lifted up. And too many singing groups have been lifted up. And pastors are lifted up. And there's nothing wrong with giving honor to whom honor's due. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But my friend, when it takes the place, and that takes the place of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in the wrong. I've got my favorite preachers. I've got my favorite singing groups. And I've got my favorite this and favorite that. And I love to go hear them. And boy, they can preach. And I like them fire. The harder they preach, the louder they preach, the more they sweat, the more they spit, the more I like it. I just like it. But my friend, we must avoid lifting up men and lifting up people and lifting up singing groups. And Mark, wonderful, wonderful. Well, we can't lift him up and lift those musicians up. Give honor to whom honor's due. But my friend, when it's all said and done, and at the end of the day, we must be saying we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said if he's lifted up in this service, if he's lifted up in this service, he'll draw some people to him. He's going to draw some people to him. And it's all about him. It's nothing about me. It's nothing about you. It is all about him. Now, let me give you some things that's going to happen when he is lifted up. When he's lifted up, there's three things that happen. There's probably more than that, but I'm going to give you three things this morning. You look like that's about all you can handle is three. Some things that happens when the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. Look at our text. We won't read the whole thing. We've already read it once. But notice, these Pharisees and these scribes, they bring this woman into the Lord Jesus Christ. They know what the law says. The law says if this woman was caught in adultery, she was to be stoned. Now, here's my question. It says there in one of the verses, it says they caught her in the very act. I want to know where the man is. So it smells like, I smell a rat. There's something fishy going on. They only bring the woman in. I think they're going to try to trick the Lord. And so they bring him in and say, hey, Lord, this lady right here was caught in adultery. In the very act. We know what Moses says. Moses says she ought to be stoned. But we just won't know what you think about it. He stoops down, writes on the ground. He writes on the ground. As though he heard them not. Folks, sometimes you do not have to answer every question. If it's not worth answering, don't answer it. If it's frivolous, just bend down and start writing on the ground. You say, what did he write on the ground? I don't know. But I bet you he probably started writing some of their old girlfriends down. They're looking over his shoulder. Jesus stoops down and writes, Susie. They're looking, going. He knows way too much. And he stoops down. And listen, look at what the Bible says. Let me get to the message. I preached this one time before, but not this particular message, but I use this John 8 when I talk about the three times God wrote in the Bible. But I don't want to preach that. But I'm interested in this right here. Verse number 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. Now what did John 3 say and what did John 12 say? Said he lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. As Moses lifted up servant with us, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He again stooped down on the ground, rolled on the ground. Verse 9, the first thing that happens when he is lifted up, and they which heard it, being what? Convicted. Can I say this? No conviction, no salvation. You say, preacher, what is conviction? Well, I'm going to tell you a word. It's in the word. Notice the word conviction. Them being convicted. Do you see the word convince? You see the word convince? The word, watch this. One who is convicted is convinced of his sin and error. One that is convinced. Have you ever been sitting in service? You wasn't saved. You were sitting in service. Boy, that preacher was preaching. And all of a sudden, something on the inside of you showed you that you were lost. You were a sinner. You had wronged God. And you got real nervous. And you got under conviction. Because you are now realized that you are, notice this word in the phrase, you are now a convict. Say, preacher, I'm not a convict. We've all sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that not what the Bible says? Now, you may not have murdered anybody. You may not have committed adultery. You may not have stole any money from the bank. But all of us have sinned against God, and that makes us all convicts. Conviction must come before salvation. I believe a person cannot be saved unless conviction takes place. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people getting saved, and they get saved at an older age, and they say, boy, preacher, I thought I was saved. Boy, I came down at an early age. I came down when I was 5. I came down when I was 6. I came down with a group of kids, and I don't remember nothing about it. I just came down because everybody else came down, and I've repeated, I shook the preacher's hand down there. I signed that little card. People signing a card ain't salvation. Shaking a preacher's hand ain't salvation. I can go into one of these classrooms. Watch this. I can go back there to the children's church. Some of them probably, I don't know what ages are back there, 6, 7, whatever. I can go back there and say, hey, how many of y'all want to go to heaven when you die? All of them would raise their hand. I say, okay. You bow your head and pray this prayer after me. Can I help you? Let me help you. If conviction is not taking place, that ain't going to do them any good. Salvation will not take place unless conviction comes first. Notice, when Jesus is lifted up, these men got convicted. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is a heart matter. Let me refer you to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, preacher, look at that. Look at that. You've got to do something with your mouth. Can I help you again? That right there in Romans chapter 10 is not this mouth. You say, preacher, oh, you gotta say something with this mouth. I got one better than that for you. It goes a little deeper than this one. Move down to about 18 more inches. There's a mouth in your heart. You say, preacher, that ain't true. Oh, yes, it is. Can you pray to God without opening your mouth? Well, how are you talking to Him then? That heart's talking to it. The Bible explains itself. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth in the righteous. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say, preacher, oh, you gotta say something with your mouth before you be saved. Oh, no, no, no. If that's true, a person that can't talk can't be saved. Can a person that can't talk be saved? Yes. Can they talk to God? Yes. How are they talking to God? They got a mouth in their heart. It's a heart matter, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason we're not seeing people saved in our churches anymore is because people are not under conviction. They're not under Holy Ghost conviction. And conviction makes you nervous. I remember as a young kid, my dad is here. Boy, he preached 40 years over there at Trinity Baptist Church. And boy, I'd be sitting there as a kid, and I'm telling you what, I'd get nervous. I thought I was all right. I was a preacher's kid. Somebody say, amen. For all preacher's kids ought to have a free ticket to heaven. I mean, I thought. And boy, I'm telling you what, I get there, and boy, Dad's preaching, he's a preaching up a storm, you must be born again, and here we go, here we go. I said, boy, I'm getting nervous, I need to go to the bathroom.
I mean, I wish one of them mamas would give me one of them babies so I could pinch it and make it cry so I can go to the nursery. I got to get out of here. Man, I wish he'd hurry up. I'm nervous. And I don't like what he's saying. That's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit of God taking his finger and putting it on your heart and going, there's the problem right there. There's the problem right there. You don't like anybody poking you in the chest, do you? I don't. Boy, I'm telling you, I get, Holy Spirit will come down there, he'll start poking. Right there. I'm like, Lord, that hurts. Stop. Well, get saved then. I get real nervous. I'd go to the bathroom. I want to go to the bathroom. I'd get back. I want to go drink water. Mom, I need to go drink water. Finally, Mom, and y'all know y'all heard all this story, but that's the only salvation experience I got. I only got saved once. She finally told me, said, son, you ain't got a bathroom problem or a water problem. You got a heart problem. And boy, every time my daddy, we get ready to go somewhere, he'd go to the bank. He said, you want to ride with me? I said, mm-mm. Why? Because I know I done been put in the trick bag. He'd get in that truck, lock the doors. I'm in there. He's going 60 miles an hour down the road. You can't jump out. He's like, hey, what do you think about the Lord? You know, we went to the bank one time. He'll probably remember this. Went to the bank one time. I said, hey, you want to, you know, watching television like kids do. I said, hey, Dad, we're going to the bank. Yep, we're going to the bank. I wonder what happens if, what happens if we get robbed while we're in there? 10-year-old boy. What happened? We rob when we get in there. He said, well, it probably could happen. But if it does happen. Everything. It didn't matter what we talked about. It always worked around to the Lord. If it does happen, and you just so happen to we don't make it out of there, did you go to heaven? You know what? You ain't got to be in church to be under conviction either. You can be in the truck on the way to the bank and be under conviction. I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you. I got to hurry. But I feel like some of you probably need to hear this. Listen, I got real nervous. And don't none of you laugh at me because this, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a whole lot bigger now than I was. But 10-year-old boy, in the middle of the night, I'd get scared. I think the rapture was going to take place. And I'd be left behind. So I'd get my blanket, my pillow, and I'd sneak down the hallway on my hands and knees into Mama's bedroom. And I'd make me a little pallet right there. And I'd reach up with my hand. They're still up there. I'm all right. Now, y'all laughing. I wasn't laughing. Son, 10-year-old boy, I was scared to death. I thought the Lord was coming and going to leave me. Why? I wasn't saved. Conviction in the middle of the night, conviction. I wasn't in the church. I wasn't sitting there. I was at home in my bed under Holy Ghost conviction. Well, I'm telling you why I stick down that bed and I stick down that hallway. And one time, it's true. It's true now. It is funny, but it's true. I felt up her one time. Mama, I didn't know she done gone to the bathroom. Son, I felt up there and it was empty. I said, Lord, help me. I done missed a boat. And boy, here I heard her coming. I said, whoo, thank you, Lord. Now, we're laughing, but I'm telling you, that was serious to me. You know what? One time, boy, I got into conviction and I said, God, I am a convict. I'm guilty. I have sinned against you. And Lord, I know my daddy's a preacher and I got to pray and mama, but I'm still going to hell without you. And Lord, I need you to save me. Threw my hands up in surrender. And I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And boy, I got a dose of salvation and I got a case of the Cain Heppets now. And you know what? I've been saved ever since.
what the Lord done for me then, I still got it today. Now, conviction takes place. I don't have time to run to the verses I need to run to, but I can tell you this, in Acts 2, we don't turn to it, let me read it to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 31, he seeing this before, he spake of the resurrection of Christ, Peter preaching. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up. Raised up, lifted up, pretty well the same thing. Lifted up. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath this same Jesus, whom he hath crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I understand what dispensation we're in, but hey, it's still conviction right there. I don't care what dispensation you're in, that's conviction. And they heard that preaching, they got under conviction. I'm telling you. And you remember when you got under conviction? Do you ever remember a time when the Holy Spirit dealt with you? Do you ever remember a time just getting nervous in church and just didn't want to hear it and just trying to get out from under it and trying to get out? If I can just get out of here, I won't never come back. If I just get out of here, I don't like that preaching. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been under conviction? I got to where now, I say this all the time, but I got to where now, I stop asking people, are they saved or are they Christian? I ask them, hey, have you ever been under conviction? Do you remember when you got under conviction? If you've ever been under it, you know it. I'm telling you, it is something you won't forget. All right, I got to hurry. When he's lifted up, conviction takes place. Look at our text. We're there in John 8. When he's lifted up, look at number 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, no man, what? When he's lifted up, there's conviction, and then there's conversion. Conversion. You know what? She said, no man, Lord. And the Bible says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This woman recognized this man as both Lord and Christ. She recognized him as the Messiah, and salvation is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit brings under conviction and reveals to you your lost condition. You cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, please save me. And conversion takes place. Converted from a sinner to a saint. Converted from a sinner to a saint. You don't need the Catholic Church to make you a saint. You don't need the popes to vote to make you a saint. When you get saved and when you get converted, you automatically become a saint. Tell the Pope I said it. Acts chapter number 9, Paul got under conviction on the road to Damascus, and he trembling, verse 6, he trembling, that's conviction, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was a thief on the cross that said, Lord, I think on the cross Jesus was lifted up. I think he was. He was lifted up to be crucified. He was lifted up in the air, and that the thief on the cross, one of them recognized that and said, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said this, guess what? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Conversion takes place today. If you want it today, he'll save you today. You say, preacher, does God want me to be saved? He wants you to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Say, preacher, he wants me to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants all to be saved. The Lord's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Conversion takes place when He is lifted up. Conviction takes place when He is lifted up. I got to hurry, but number three, when He's lifted up, commitment takes place. What did it say there in the text? Lifted up. She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This woman got committed. She got committed. Listen, she made a commitment. Say, "Preacher, can you break a commitment?" Yep, but God can't break His. That's a good thing. You say, "Preacher, I need a little Pauline on that." Well, okay. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." He's able to keep it. Sometimes I ain't able to keep my commitment. He's able to keep it. Say, "Preacher, what is commitment?" Well, it's that thing. You remember when you fell in love with that girl, and you remember when you asked her dad if you could marry her, and you remember that when she come down that aisle, and you remember standing in front of the preacher, and he says, "You take this woman." Yeah, you take this woman, and both of you, the two, shall become one. And then the next day or two, you figure out which one. I said that in the wrong place, didn't I? You remember that? You were making a commitment. Commitment to her. Her making a commitment to Him. That's your question. I got to hurry because it's almost 12. And at 12, I don't know what it is about Sunday morning, but right at 12. I mean, it's like clockwork, right at 12. Just like people just do like this. When it strikes 12, people go. So I got to hurry before y'all turn into a bunch of pumpkins. When He's lifted up, there's conviction. When He's lifted up, there's conversion. When He's lifted up, there's commitment. Let me ask you a question. If your spouse was as committed to you as you are committed to the Lord, would you stay married to that person? Let me go over here and say it. If you or your spouse was as committed to you as you are committed to the Lord, would you stay married to that person? It takes commitment. Jesus faced her. It wasn't but Him and her standing there. You're going to have to face Him. Jesus faced her. He forgave her and freed her. And I'm going to tell you what. Hey, this is what God wants. 1 John 1, He says, "My little children, these things I write," verse John chapter 2. He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not." That's what He told the woman. Go, sin no more. That's my desire for you, to go, sin no more. But guess what? How many of y'all sinned since you've been saved? Don't raise your hand. Don't embarrass yourself. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby, we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Commandment. Commitment. Commandment. Commitment. Commandments. You say, "I got to keep commandments to be saved?" No. But you do have to keep them to be committed. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to say, when the Lord, when you enter into heaven, wouldn't you like to hear this? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Faithful, committed, faithful, committed. Faithfulness, commitment. Okay. Yeah. "Well done, thou good and faithful
service. I've always wondered about this. I will tell you this. Can I help you? I stand up here and rant and rave about Muslims all the time. I stand rant and rave about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all that. But can I just be just right down here honest with you? They got us beat on commitment. We got the truth. They have a lie. They're more committed with their lie than we are with the truth. I've always wanted to run a church like this, like the electric company. I'd love to run a church sometime. We'd never get away with it. But I'd love to run a church like the electric company does. When you go into your house, you go in there to turn on your electric. And basically, when you sign that little thing, you're saying, I am committed to pay you every time you send a bill to my house. I'm committed to pay you. If I ever fail in my commitment, you have the authority to turn my lights off. I'd love to run a church that way. How many of us would be in the dark? Are you committed to Him? You committed to the Lord? Are you faithful to Him? Hallelujah. Them other 2 points went over pretty better than this one. Paul said this, faithful unto death. I'll give you this last illustration. There's a fellow by the name of George Wilson was sentenced to be hanged after he was convicted of killing a guard while robbing a federal payroll from a train. That's how old it was. The public outcry was capital punishment. And the people said capital punishment. President Andrew Jackson offered him a pardon. Unbelievably, Wilson, this guy that killed, he refused to accept the pardon. Can anybody do that? The case became so legally confusing that the Supreme Court had to rule on it. Chief Justice John Marshall delivered the verdict, and he said this, a pardon is a piece of paper whose only value must be determined by the receiver of the pardon. It has no value apart from that which the receiver gives it. George Wilson has refused to accept this pardon. We cannot conceive why he would do so, but he has done it. Therefore, George Wilson must die. And George Wilson was hanged. God's grace is a pardon. He's pardoned every one of us in this room. But Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, people walk out and say, I don't want that pardon. I'd rather die in my sins. You say, preacher, how foolish, how foolish, how foolish. Yes, it is foolish. But subconsciously, we don't think about it in that way, in those terms. But that's what we do. Amen. Folks, when Jesus Christ is lifted up, there will be conviction. When He's lifted up, there will be conversion. And when He's lifted up, for all those of us that are saved, after you do get saved, there is some commitment involved. And with me and the rest of us, I think we could do a little better job on our little commitment. Start with me. I admit, me. We do better on our commitment to Him. He's done so much for us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm not lifting up myself today. I'm lifting up Jesus Christ and Him crucified on the cross. Have you ever been under conviction? Have you ever been converted? Have you ever had that commitment that you made to the Lord? How about it today?